think you have anything to worry about, Charlie Brown.
The only thing wrong with my big brother, Charlie Brown, is his lack of confidence.
Did you know that Charlie Brown has
a very big
truly a dog's life.
Some days I wake up early to watch the sunrise, and I think how beautiful it is and how my life lies before me. And I get a very positive feeling about things. Like this morning, for instance. The sky is so clear and the sun so bright. How could anything go wrong on a day like this? I'm late! A good man, yes, but I confess, I don't know what they mean. I want to rise like I should and do everything right. But I lie awake at night,
never sleep,
with questions in my ear,
loud and deep.
I want to join the dance,
take the leap,
but the answer isn't clear. Then I hear
Charlie Brown.
That's music from, the very opening music from the 1967 musical You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, the Broadway cast. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, the show is your connection to local performances. Good afternoon, I'm Kevin Kelly. Thank you for joining us today. On the program, coming up, we'll be exploring a little bit about a new musical by Adam Guan called String. which was partially developed at the Millikan University New Musicals Workshop and will have its premiere at Millikan University. In fact, the premiere was a couple of nights ago, and they'll be performing that for the rest of this weekend. I'll be talking with the stage director, Laurie Bales, coming up later in the hour. But first, it's You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, which is in production at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan by the star dance and drama students there, of which we have two representatives as well as two of the staff members involved in the star program. And those staff members are Heather DeRay Johnson-Weber. Last I saw Heather, she didn't have the Weber in her name, so belated congratulations, Heather, who's the education director for the STAR program, and Andy Hudson, who is music director for the program, a voice instructor there, and also music directing this production.
Right? That's right.
Thanks to both of you for coming in. And we have in the role of Charlie Brown, Kyler Giebert, and as Sally, his sister, Emily Bassino-Althaus. Thanks to you guys for coming up as well. You've had a performance already today.
Yeah, two.
Two performances today?
Yeah.
So two today and then one tonight. So these are both for area schools, or where have you been traveling to? Or have you been traveling?
They come to us.
Yeah. Oh, they come to the theater.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's makes it easier, doesn't it?
Easier on us, anyway.
Yeah, so Kyler and Emily, you are... veterans, I guess, of doing lots of shows in a day.
You could say
yeah.
that.
You could say that. Let me ask Heather first, because you've been involved with the STAR program for a long time.
Oh yes, a very long time.
Yeah, just tell us a little bit about it. STAR stands for something.
Student Theater Arts Reach, and the program was started in the late '90s. I became dance director in 2008, and then I was later promoted to the education director. And within that role, I direct the student theater arts reach, education outreach musicals, and I teach dance classes, and I, you know, keep a string on all of our instructors to make sure that our program is running smoothly. When I'm not doing that, I'm also a professional actor, so I'm performing in other main stage productions as well.
For the company
or
for other places?
Yeah, for the Little Theater.
And the program was started with what in mind? I mean, when you say student, meaning what sort of age group?
Students typically ages 2 to 3 years old who take tiny, you know, mommy and me dance classes, intro dance classes, all the way up through grade 12. So basically ages 2 to 18. And with the idea in mind that we are a small town, but we happen to be the only equity theater between Chicago and St. Louis in the state, which is odd. You know, we're not in a big city, but we do have all of the resources as us being a professional theater. We have these great resources for students to understand what it's like to study, you know, the professional theater world and sort of prepare them. And we do have students who have gone out and have worked professionally, so it's rewarding.
So what is the program like? For example, Kyler and Emily, they come in and they have, what is their program like?
Okay, well, we offer about 30 different dance and drama classes as well as private voice lessons. So, and those happen Monday through Friday, different nights a week. And, you know, kids take combinations of different dance and drama classes for whatever age group is appropriate for them. And then they'll also schedule private voice lessons with Andy. And then when we do a musical production, we will not interfere with the dance classes, but we'll have rehearsals on the weekends. So we'll take about 4 hours on Saturday and 4 hours on Sunday over about a two-month period, and we'll mount the show, and then we go into a regular tech week and put on a full production.
How many shows a year?
Right now we're doing 2 shows a year. Sometimes it's one. Sometimes, and then we also have a dance recital for the dancers, and we have a drama showcase for the drama and voice students. So there's a lot of performance opportunities that do happen.
So a showcase in which you would have samples from different plays on
yeah,
one program?
Yeah, and it's always different. Sometimes they'll write a show together and collaboratively, or they will do, you know, one-act shows or 10-minute plays or, you know, something. Or monologue, something that they have been working on in class that they, you know, can show off their talents with. So
Emily, girls first. How long have you been involved in the STAR program?
Since I was 5 years old.
And you're how old now?
14.
So that makes 9?
Yeah.
I've been out of math class for an awfully long time. And have you been involved in all aspects of the program, singing, dance, acting?
Yeah, I take voice lessons with Andy, and I take dance classes from Heather, and I did take drama classes for a while, but my busy schedule didn't really allow it anymore, so... But I'm always there, so...
And what makes your schedule so busy?
Well, I do the dance classes and the voice lessons, and then I'm also on the dance team at Mattoon High School, so I have that, and I play volleyball, and what else do I do? Oh, I'm involved at, like, school with, like, Key Club and stuff, so I have a lot going on every day.
What drew you to the program in the first place? Do you remember back that far?
My family has always been, like, involved in theater. Like, my grandfather was a director. My grandmother, like, designed costumes for shows. And so they got my mom, like, involved in that. And then my aunt and my uncle did shows, too. And it kind of just, like, came down to me. And I saw shows there when I was little, like the TYA shows in the summer. And I wanted to be in those, so... My mom got me in classes, and then it just kind of took off from there.
What is TYA?
Theater for Young Audiences. It's like the main stage shows in the summer. There's 5 of those, and then 3 shows directed for, like, younger audiences.
And you happened to tell me, right, actually told all of us, which even Heather didn't seem to know, that your role in this play is a bit of a legacy. Your mom played Sally?
When she was younger, she played Sally, too.
And your dad had some... involvement as well?
My dad did one show in his life, but that was it.
Okay, so that was not your dad. Fair enough. So, Kyler, what about you? How long have you been involved in the STAR program?
I think since second grade, but I've been kind of on and off. I did it second and third grade, and then I went to Decatur, and then I came back about 2011, I think, and then I've just stayed here since because I love it so much.
So when you say you went to Decatur, where do you live?
I live in Milwaukee, which is like 20 miles south of Decatur. And the director who was doing the STAR stuff went from Sullivan to Decatur. And so a lot of us kind of just followed her there and I did stuff with her for a couple of years, and then I came back here.
And you're how old now, did you say?
I'm 15.
You think about
forgot
that
my age there for a second.
And like Emily, are you involved in all aspects of the program?
I'm kind of on and off. I'm not taking anything this year, at least yet. I'm not sure about next semester or not. But I did take drama last year. I took dance the year before. So I kind of am just on and off.
And is this your first? I'm guessing this is not your first production for the program.
Oh,
either
no.
Of you. Not by
no.
Long shot.
I don't. I think I kind of have lost count. This is my 18th show altogether, but I'm not sure how many I've done with the STAR program.
I'm somewhere in the 30s, but I'm not really sure.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I should kick this back to Andy or Heather. How are all the kids who are in the program involved in a production every year?
We hold open auditions for any child in the community, and for both main stage productions like A Christmas Story, which is coming up, but also for our education outreach shows like You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. So you don't have to be a student. It's encouraged. It's nice. It's nice to know our students and what they're capable of and know their parents and, you know, that they would be committed to doing the show if they're not one of our students. Sometimes we cast, and we do cast people who are not current students. A lot of times after they've done a show with us, they fall in love with everyone and the whole process, and then they end up signing up to take classes. So
this show in particular has a smaller cast than some of the ones we've done. Mm-hmm. A lot of the other shows have opportunities for many, especially the younger kids. And this show, because of the vocal demands and a lot of the a smaller cast size to begin with, it's featured more of our older students and, mm-hmm. and more experienced performers. So it's been nice to kind of shine the spotlight on them for this particular production.
Well, I've only seen You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown once in my life, and it was, well, I was trying to remember when we were talking before the show began how long ago it really was, but must have been at about the time the show came out. And I remember being surprised when I was a kid to see that adults were playing these characters, which I guess is part of the point. But that's not happening in this case. Although Charlie Brown and his buddies are what, like in grade school?
I want to say
is the
around
idea?
8 yeah. years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they're, but their thinking is remarkably advanced.
That's the whole shtick with, really, yeah. with Charles Schulz, that you have these
kindergarten philosophers.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
Kyler, tell me about Charlie Brown from your point of view.
Charlie Brown is kind of this lovable goofball. I mean, he really has a lot of qualities about him. He's really miserable about absolutely everything. I mean, he finds a way to make everything really sad. Like, he was talking at the beginning of the show about how he, like, the sky is awesome. It's a beautiful day, and then he figures out he's late for the bus. I mean, something always comes along to kind of just ruin his day. And I feel like he's also obsessed with this little red-haired girl. And, like, he is just, he can't get her out of his mind. And lots of misadventures happen with that.
The little red-haired girl whom no one to this day has ever seen.
We have one.
Do you have one? Is there one in the play?
Yeah.
She does show up?
She shows up.
Oh, really?
She doesn't have any lines, but she's there and she's pretty.
Well, you would expect so.
Yeah. But it gives him... It creates conflict for Charlie because he sees her, and then when he sees her, it changes his behavior. For example, he's at lunch eating his peanut butter sandwich, and he notices that the pretty redheaded girl is looking at him, and he takes his paper bag and puts it over his head. That then gives Lucy an opportunity to walk by, not even thinking about the fact that Charlie's sitting there with a bag on her head, but she's explaining what her dress looks like to Sally, so she uses the bag to draw a picture of her pretty dress.
While it's on his head, right? And Emily, as Sally, what's your take on your brother?
She loves him, but she's a little too dumb to like know what to say when. So she's yeah. So like, there's one part where he's upset because he didn't get any Valentines this year, and I walk up and I say, "You didn't get any Valentines because no one sent you any." And she just doesn't really know, like, what to say when. She's kind of just a dumb little girl, but she's, like, cute. Very cute.
Well, that, I mean, in a way, she represents all kids, because kids can get away with saying things that seem perfectly obvious to them, mm-hmm. but don't go over well in, yeah. in the adult world, let's yeah. say. Well, I know you brought a couple of songs to sing, and I don't know what your intention was for the order, but it set, Emily, you seem to have set up your own song in a way, if you're going to sing the one I think you're going to sing.
Oh, okay.
The New Philosophy?
Yes.
The reason I say that is that you get some grades that aren't so hot, right?
That Sally is not well-versed in education. Let's just
doesn't
say
really
that.
See the value, I think.
No, she's aloof, you know. She's in Sally world, and your philosophy, I mean, you can explain, you know, why she's choosing different types of philosophies. And
or will the song do that?
Yeah.
She just got a D on her homework, and she's frustrated and flustered, and is kind of looking for excuses almost to why she got the bad grade.
Oh, yeah, that's what you think. Oh, yeah, that's what you think. Oh, yeah, that's what you think. Oh, yeah, that's what you think.
What?
That's my new philosophy. Oh, yeah, that's what you think.
Well, why are you telling me?
Huh?
Why are you telling me?
Why are you telling me? I like it! That's a good philosophy. Why are you telling me? Why are you telling me? Why are you telling me my new philosophy? The teacher gave a D on last week's homework. She said, "Miss Sally Brown, your grades are going down." I could have told her.
Your new philosophy.
My new philosophy. Miss B, I'm she. Look, see. A D, a D. Well, why are you telling me? And that's my new philosophy.
That's your new philosophy.
Why are you telling me? My new philosophy.
That's great, Sally, but I have to go home and practice Chopin's Nocturne in B-flat minor.
No! That's a good philosophy. No! No! No!
That's your new philosophy, huh?
Yes! I mean, no! Just like a busy bee, each new philosophy can fly from tree to tree and keep me moving. When life's a dizzy mess, philosophy.
Sally, some philosophies are simple. Man does not live by bread alone. Some philosophies are clear.
Leave your message at the sound of the tone.
Some philosophies pick and choose, deciding what goes in it.
Some take a lifetime.
Mine take a minute.
But Sally, anything that takes a minute cannot be very lasting. For example, it took Beethoven over 2 years to write his brilliant Ninth Symphony.
No!
I can't stand it!
I can't stand it! I like it! It's like a guarantee, my new philosophy. And things are sure to be a whole lot brighter. Oh yeah? That's what you think. No! I can't stand it. Now life is free and easy. Much more philosophy's with my brand new. You know, someone has said that we should live each day as if it were the last day of our lives.
This is the end! I only have 24 hours left! Ah! Help me! Help me! Ah!
Clearly, some philosophies aren't for all people. And that's my new philosophy.
In the role of Sally Brown, Emily Bacino-Althaus, and joined by Kyler Giebert in the role of Charlie Brown, with a cameo appearance by Education Director Heather Drade Johnson Weber.
That's Lucy.
Oh, is that who that
that's
was?
Lucy, yeah.
That's Lucy from Your Good Man, Charlie Brown. Being put on by the Star Dance and Drama Program at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. They've done a number of school programs, and the public performances begin tonight at 7:30. There's another one tomorrow at 7:30, and then matinees at 2 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday, all at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. And Andy Hudson is at the piano. He's the music director for the program and for this production. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program is supported by The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana, open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. More information is available at 359-7377. Kyler, your turn for a solo turn, right?
Okay.
This is does the football show up in this?
The football does not, but
The kite does.
But the kite does. He has a couple of misadventures with a kite, so.
And there's a baseball game too.
There's a baseball game
there
too.
There has to be
so
a baseball.
So we have a lot of things, but we don't have a football.
The various sports, if we can include kiting in that, at which Charlie yes, Brown is not particular adept.
No, he says in the show he's never been much playing football or baseball or stickball or checkers or marbles or ping pong. He kind of throws some other stuff in there that he's not very good at.
And kite flying.
And kite flying. Little more speed, little more rope, little more wind, little more hope. Gotta get this stupid kite to fly. Gotta make sure it doesn't snag, doesn't droop, doesn't drag. Gotta watch out for every little whoops. Little less speed, little more tack, little less rise, little more slack. Gotta keep my wits about me now. Gotta make sure it doesn't get the best of me till I get it in the air somehow. Millions of little kids do it every day. They make their kite and poof, it's in the sky. Leave it to me to have the one fool kite who likes to see a little kid cry. Little less talk, little more skill, little less luck, little more will. Gotta face this fella eye to eye. Now that I've seen you chasing moles, climbing trees, digging holes, catching your string on everything passing by, why not fly? Wait a minute. What's it doing? It isn't on the ground. It isn't in a tree. It's in the air. Look at that. It's caught the breeze now. It's past the trees now, with room to spare. Oh, what a beautiful sight. And I'm not such a clumsy guy. If I really try, I can really fly a kite. No!
It's fun to listen to hear some of the signature phrases from these various characters, as I remember from them from the comic strip, which, of course, was Peanuts by Charles M. Schulz. It's from Your Good Man, Charlie Brown, song called The Kite, sung by Kyler Gebert in the role of Charlie Brown. Nice job, Kyler and Emily.
Thanks.
And good job to Andy Hudson.
Thanks.
At the keyboard, who is a voice instructor and music director with the program. And thanks to Heather Weber. Can we just call you Heather Weber?
That's fine.
who's education director for the Star Dance and Drama Program at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, which is where this is all taking place. Performances tonight and tomorrow night and Saturday and Sunday afternoon with 17 young performers from the program or something like that in this recreation of a day in the life, an average day in the life of Charlie Brown.
Right.
Should be a treat, and I want to say thanks to all four of you for coming up today and break a leg on tonight's first public performance.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
It's live and local on FM 90.9. Stay tuned next for a conversation with Lori Bales, who is a professor of theater at Millikan University in Decatur. She is also director of the new musicals workshop there, and Millikan is going to premiere a musical called String by Adam Guan, which was workshopped at Millikan and having its premiere there actually a couple of nights ago and continuing performances through the rest of the weekend. Here's a song from that show. It's called Uncharted Territory.
Territory.
That's a song called Uncharted Territory, sung by Betsy Wolf and another and more in the ensemble, from the musical String, with music and lyrics by Adam Guan. The book is by Sarah Hammond. This is a new musical which will have its premiere, well, actually did have its premiere a couple of nights ago at Millikan University, and has performances remaining tonight and tomorrow, and then Sunday afternoon. And this musical came in part out of Millikan's New Musicals Workshop, which is directed by Professor Laurie Bales, who is professor of theater at Millikan. And she's also stage director for this production. She's also my guest on Live and Local. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about the New Musicals Workshop. This was a baby of yours, I guess.
Well, we are members of the National Alliance for New Musicals, which is known by its letters, NAMT, so NAMT. And I got involved with this organization in 2004, and I found that universities had the resources to help writers develop their works. And so we started in 2007. We got to know Adam Guan through the festival, the NAMT New Musicals Festival, and we sent him an email and said, do you have anything that needs development? And he and Sarah sent us a paragraph. So the show, when we took it on, was a paragraph of a story, and they came in January 2011 and wrote the first draft.
So I was reading an article in the Herald Review, and it had said here that when he got there, he needed an entire second act, but it sounds like he basically needed the whole play.
Adam had written almost 200 pages of music between the paragraph and the workshop, and they sort of had Act 1 written, and Act 2 was just kind of an outline. And after they left us, the show went on to a series of workshops, one at the O'Neill, and Adam won a couple national awards. So they've had a lot of development since then.
Won national awards for this play?
Uh-huh, and I think it's the low award for musical theater.
But it still hadn't had a presentation at that point.
No, not a full production. It had only been had workshops.
And workshops mean that you do little parts of it or do certain songs from it?
You actually stand at music stands, and they say all the words and they sing all the songs. But a workshop is primarily for the writers to hear the words and the music. So there's minimal staging, sometimes no staging. And then they work on the developing the story. So this is the first time the show's had a full production with lights and costumes and full staging.
So the song we heard, Uncharted Territory, actually, I believe, came from one of those workshops then.
Actually, it was written, it was here, it came in 2011. He had written it when they came here in 2011.
Well, I mean, the performance we heard, I think, was from one of the workshops.
I'm pretty sure that's from the O'Neill.
Yeah. So when he got there, and when other playwrights have done this, what do they do? Do they just come to Millikan and hang out for some period of time and work with your students in what way?
Well, we prepare the material as well as we can in 2 to 5 days before they get here. And then we show them what we have. And they often do go hold themselves up in the music building in Perkinson Music Center and rewrite and rework. And they bring us the new material, and we get it up on its feet as soon as we can. So we just work back and forth like that until the end of the week, at which we do a public presentation
of whatever material has been created to that point.
Right. And then we get feedback from the public. So they get to see it with an audience, which is really informative.
How do the kids respond to all this, the students?
Oh, they love it. The great thing about this is it's an immersion, so it's in January before classes start. So we're focusing entirely on the workshop. And also the writers, we've been very fortunate. Every writer that we've gotten to come here has been a national award winner. So they're building their resumes. One of our seniors recently sent his resume, and there are sites online now where professionals will review your resume for you. And Michael Cassera, one of the casting directors that we have a relationship with, sent our student response back saying, "You have, it's incredible how many professional references you have." And they were all through the program. So they're very excited. You're touching a song for the first time. You're the first person to sing it, which is kind of neat.
Is this something that playwrights, I guess you call somebody who's writing musicals a playwright?
Sure.
Is this something that is fairly common for them to do, to have an incomplete work and then take it somewhere and do the sort of thing they do at Millikan?
The workshop process for young playwrights, well, in all playwriting teams, the National Alliance, that's part of their mission, is to find ways to help writing teams develop their work. So this is something that is done. It's not often done in colleges. There are a handful of colleges that do this across the country, but not a lot. So it's a distinctive program for us.
Where does it usually happen? In theater, at theater companies, professional theater companies?
Some regional companies have developing new work as part of their mission. There are a lot of granting organizations that support, the National Awards, the Lowe Foundation, the O'Neill. A lot of these places have programs that you can apply for grants, and the grants help them sustain their livelihood so they can focus on writing. And that's what we do also. We give them a place and time to come and work. They have a place to stay. They have artists at their disposal, which is really nice. It's common. It's a common practice now, I think.
Do you have to pay to have them here, or is what they get out of it that is their payment?
We provide travel and housing for them to get here, and sometimes we're able to provide stipends through grants from from NAMPT. So they help support producing companies who help the writers. They help us help them.
I understand this is only the second time that Millikan will actually be giving the premiere of one of the plays they have that have been workshopped there. Is that,
yes.
Is that right?
Yes, the previous one was 3 years ago. It was Golden Gate by Christopher Diamond and Michael Kumin, who just won the Fred Ebb Award for Musical Theater. They just won a big award, so that's very exciting.
For that musical or for another one?
Just for their work. That was just particularly just for them, not specifically for a work, to my knowledge.
And is that one that went on to, did it have legs, so to speak? Golden Gate?
It did go on. It had a production, I think in Seattle. I may not be correct about the city, but it did go on and have another production.
And that's as far as it went, at least so far.
Well, I'll tell you, musical development is slow. it doesn't mean it's not out there having a life. I just may not know about it.
Tell me a little bit about Adam Guan. He doesn't happen to be a name that's familiar to me, but then I'm not up on contemporary musicals very much.
He's brilliant. He has a show called Ordinary Days, which was featured at the festival and has had a really strong life. It's had productions all over this country and abroad. He's a young, up-and-coming, he's a person to keep your eye on if you're interested in wondering what music you may be seeing or musicals you may be seeing in 10 years. I think we will be seeing some of his stuff. He's very good.
We're going to hear another couple of songs, really, from this musical, and one of them in a moment. Let's use that one, perhaps. It's called So Over, to tell the story of the play. It seems a little unusual. I haven't read the whole, found a place to read the entire synopsis, but Greek gods in a modern city?
Yeah, I think those kind of stories are really, I don't know, pretty popular now. They take the normal and make it make it mythical. So the three fates are cast down to Earth because they make Zeus mad because they won't restore one of his lovers to life. So he casts them down to Earth, and they're here doing their job. They spin life, and then the oldest sister, Atropos is her name, she cuts the thread of life, so she's death, essentially. And she falls in love with this, you know, geeky guy in the basement of their building, and the sisters who have been sort of estranged from one another, which is why the middle sister sings the song so over. She's sick of it. She's sick of the sister thing. She's sick of it all. So that's where that song comes from. And it's no easy song to sing. The style of the song, it's very high. So it's very modern in that sense, in that the style of music, the belt style. Anyway, Atropos falls in love with Mickey, and they learn to love. They learn that the tapestry of life is not just, that there are souls, there are people in that tapestry that they are in charge of, and they see their life, their work, and their lives differently after they're reintroduced to love. So it's a love story, but it's also a story about family and what's important, I think.
Is it a funny play at all?
Yeah, it's really funny, actually. There's a lot of humor in the whole thing. It's sad, but these two people who know nothing about love fall in love, so there's all the awkwardness of that, and the three sisters and their relationship to the world is funny because they don't belong to the world. They live on the 200th floor of the tallest building in the world. So there's a lot of corporate America about how Americans are so busy. We're busy all the time, and we don't really take time for living anymore. And I think the show talks about that too.
So it takes a god or two or three to let us figure that out. Give a listen to this song from Adam Guan's musical String, which is brand new. And this is a song called So Over. The singer here is, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. It's either Laura Darrell or Laura Durrell. I'm afraid I don't have the name of the pianist. But you know the musical it's from, and that musical will have three performances left this weekend at Millikan University in Decatur. My guest is the director of the musical, Laurie Bales, who is a professor of theater at Millikan. And this is Live and Local.
Passion in her centuries-old soul. She's missing the capacity to care. Rumor has it Cupid tried to shoot her with his arrow, but the only thing he hit was solid rock and bone marrow, because her heart's not there. She wouldn't know a charitable gesture if it poked her in the eye. She's by the book, no ifs, no ands, or buts. She indulged in that one tiny indiscretion. She is hardly one to fall into a permanent obsession. So Mickey, please, he's so over. Have you seen her cry when he's not there? Have you ever seen her do her hair? Have you ever heard her sigh? Where's that magic Mickey guy? Or even breathe a word of their affair. She's so over him. It's so over now. It's been overturned. So don't fret about it. May and Mickey just are so over. She's spending her eternity behaving like she's the mistress of the world. She's Mrs. High and Mighty all the time. Quite simply disregard. She took 7,000 years to print my business card. That whole thing is so over. Have you ever seen her crack a smile? Being warm and fuzzy's not her style. Have you ever heard her say, "Nice job, glass breaks. What's in a mug?
So Over.
That's amazing.
Sorry. So Over, the name of the song from Adam Guan's musical String, which is in production at Millikan University in Decatur. It has had two performances so far, Wednesday and Thursday just this week, and then will continue tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock at the Albert Taylor Theater in Schilling Hall on campus. My guest is the director of the musical and also director of the New Musicals Workshop, which is partly responsible for helping to get the play finished. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about, I guess specifically about the title. The synopsis that is on the Millikan University website says, "One mistake leads to another, a lost pair of scissors, a kiss, a stolen string." And I assume that is the impetus for the title somehow. What's the context for all that?
The metaphor of life as a tapestry, that we're all interconnected, and the sisters weave the tapestry of life. And when Atropos meets the guy in the basement, she falls in love with him and finds out that his string is meant to be cut. And she decides she doesn't want to cut his string because she doesn't want him to die. So she pulls his string from the tapestry, and everything goes awry. The world, bad things start happening. People stop dying, but they're getting hurt. It's snowing all the time. It's just everything is amiss. So she drops her scissors, and he finds them, and that's how they meet.
This sounds like something that would come across almost better in a movie.
It's very cinematic. I agree with you. It has a very cinematic feel to it.
Does that make it difficult to put on the stage?
Yes. It was very difficult to stage. There are a lot of things going on at the same time. There's the busy office building with all these people running around working, and the sisters have a room where they work, and then there's the guys in the basement. Yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot going on.
Is that
it would make a cool movie.
Oh, sounds like it. Is that the sort of thing that when an author brings a musical to a workshop such as the Millikan New Musicals Workshop, where somebody can say, you know, this is really going to be hard to stage. How are you going to deal with that?
I don't think that's the writer's job is not to worry about that. Their job is to write the story. And then it would be the producing entity's job to try to figure out how it looks. So this has never been done. There was nothing for us to go look at or compare it to. We just had to. We were on our own. It's exciting and also scary.
I imagine. How did the audience take to it the first couple nights?
You know, they're really engaged. They're listening, which is always a key. And it's very quiet in the house. So I know that they're trying to follow the story. And then you can tell when they've got the story because they start laughing louder and they're not quite afraid to respond. So it's a very touching piece. The three sisters' estrangement and their sort of finding their way back to each other, because they all want to go back home. So they keep thinking they're going to get to go back to Mount Olympus, and what they realize is that their lives are wherever they are together. and that they come to realize that they're going to stay here, and together they're going to be fine. And it's interesting. I'm the oldest of three sisters, so it's really a piece about family. I think ultimately, even more than the love story, it's about your family. It's really pretty cool. My mom is the youngest of three sisters, and she had three daughters, and my sister had three daughters. So we're a big family of three sisters, and they'll all be here tomorrow night.
So it sounds like to me, and this pun is intended, that you were fated to direct this musical.
I think I was. When they sent me the story, I said, "Oh yes, 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 please, I can relate to this."
And I read that when Adam Guan came back to actually work on the musical, you know, to prepare the performances, he was actually still writing music for it.
Oh yeah, He wrote a new. He wrote a new little, it's like, it's not a full song, but it's a short song that's new. They cut a whole chunk out of Act Two, and he was really great helping write scene change music, because that's the tricky, every production is kind of different, and they wanted to leave the scene change writing to respond to the production he was seeing. So he wrote a whole bunch of scene change music, and, you know, they're always tweaking and finding ways to tell the story better. It was fun. Sarah was here too. She came for 2 days, and Adam was here for 5 days.
So Sarah Hammond, who wrote the book for the musical, and then Adam wrote the music and lyrics. So if the writer's job is to write the play and sort of leave it to the producers and directors and so on, the producing organization, to turn it into something, I guess that means that when he showed up, he really had no idea what he was going to see.
He didn't. Yeah. It would be, I wish you could talk to him. It'd be interesting to hear what he had to say about seeing it. And we're in constant contact with them. So if we have a question, we send them an email and they respond back. It's been great.
So they're not here for the premiere? They must be here for the premiere.
They're on their way. They arrive tonight.
Ah, so they'll get to see it really for the first time tonight then.
Yes.
That has to be exciting for everybody.
Yeah, it is. Yes, we're very excited for them to arrive. And we're even having a little celebration thing after the show tomorrow night for families and administrators. And so we'll all get some time with them tomorrow night after the show.
So what I really need to be doing is talking to him tomorrow.
Yes, you probably could do that if you'd like to.
Well, we don't do a show tomorrow. So maybe.
Yeah.
Well, it's fun to talk to you about this, because I think it's actually the first I've had a conversation on this show about a Millikan University theatrical production, and this seems like a good place to start, and maybe we'll do it again.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Lori Bales is Associate Professor of Theater and Director of the New Musicals Workshop at Millikan University in Decatur. She is directing Adam Guan's musical String with a book by Sarah Hammond. It had its premiere Wednesday night. Performances continue tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 with a matinee Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Albert Taylor Theater in Schilling Hall on the Millikan campus in Decatur. And here is another song from String. This is also from a workshopped performance, as it were. The song's called Get Me Out of Here. Laurie, you want to set a context for us?
After Post pulls Mickey String from the tapestry, all the elevators in the building stop, and these five people get stuck in their elevators for, I don't know, 12-ish hours, and they went out. So that's what they're singing about.
Thank you very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you.
What day is it?
What floor am I on?
Has the sun gone down yet?
Is there still a sun?